Remain standing. Remain standing for just a second.
Yeah, please.
Put your arms around like this. Hug real tight and say, Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me.
Did you love you so much he died for you?
Amen.
I love you, but Jesus Amen. Loves so much
right.
he died for you. Father, now I ask you to meet now. Teach. What a great spirit. Lord, I was sitting back here listening, singing, and thought, what a sweet spirit. Good
yes.
night. Bless have mercy. Man. Lord, I still think this is a crazy bunch of people. They stay here all day, but I ask you just to bless them. Give us that you'd have us to do today. You know what
yes.
you're doing. I don't. So I just ask your will be done. Please,
bless
in Jesus' name,
yes.
amen. All right, go ahead and be seated.
Amen.
Now, is this thing on or off? Is there a sound man somewhere?
Yeah.
You have to be smarter than the equipment, and I'm not. Can everybody hear me?
It's on.
We ready to go?
Ready to go.
All right. Find John chapter 6, please. I'm going to put my good eye on. I keep it in my pocket. It's terrible to get old and fat at the same time. Blind. Everything that works hurts. You know, getting old ain't for sissies. I guarantee you. All right. Everybody find John chapter 6, if you would, please. I drove up this morning. I've not seen your new building. I drove up this morning. I almost drove by. I thought, well, I mean, that's the wrong place, you know. But then I get here this morning, and a great Sunday school lesson. And people kept coming, kept coming. Y'all were very rude. I had nowhere to sit except in the back. You need a new building.
And I
plan on looking at it after church this morning. But I love you. I love coming here. Brother Ike, I think you're crazy. I think you people are nuts.
There's
the only place in the world you come have two preachers back to back and get away with it. On a Sunday morning. I'm talking about on a Sunday morning. The Mormons, the Catholics, the Methodists, and everybody else going to be gone from them restaurants when we get there, bless God. We'll have it all to ourselves. That's right. Don't have to wait. I can figure this thing out. He knows how to get you in and out of there. Young man one Saturday night fell on his knees and he said, Dear God, I've asked you for a wife for a long time. And it's been this, and this. And Lord, I still want a wife, but I want your will to be done. In the morning, I'm going down, and I don't care who normally sits there, but I'm coming down to the second pew on the left, and God, I'm going to sit down. And God, whichever woman comes and sits by me, I know that's one you want me to marry. And the Lord, I don't care how small, how big, how tall, how short, what color hair. Lord, I won't care. I promise you. I got to have a wife. Now, God, whoever comes and sits down beside me on that second pew on the left side as I enter in, I know that's her, so your will be done, God. He came and sat there. People began to come into the church. Nobody came and sat by him. People kept coming, Finally, a woman came in and sat by him and was the most beautiful woman you've ever laid eyes on. He's sitting there going, I mean, he's about to have a spell. I mean, good night. He's getting goosebumps on goosebumps. And the woman looked over. He didn't have to say a word. The woman looked over at him and she said, Sir, I don't mean to sound forward. I don't mean to sound rude in any shape, form, or fashion. But I want you to know that I'm here today looking for a husband. She said, I'm sure that you know everybody here. I don't know anybody. I want to explain to you the kind of man I'm looking for that I would like to be my husband. He said, sure. She said, I've always wanted a man that had Indian blood in him. Native American. I've just always wanted it. For some reason, I can't explain to you why, sir. I've always wanted one. She said, but I've also wanted, growing up, wanted a man that had Jewish blood in him. The heritage of God. I said, And she said, but you know what? I also wanted a Southern gentleman. Just an old Southern boy. He said, And she said, my name is Gail. What is your name? He said, well, ma'am, my name is He said, my name is Geronimo Goldstein, but you can call me Bubba. Amen. Oh, boy. Down in Kentucky where y'all just think y'all rednecks here. You ought to go preach in Kentucky, bless God. Whew. Breath smells like stove wood down there. There's a country, okay? There's a river out in the middle of the woods. On the other side was a man named Clarence. On this side was a man named Billy Bob. And they hated each other. And they'd cuss at each other across that river. Boy, if I could get across that river, if that river wasn't so wide, if it wasn't so deep and it wasn't so swift, I'd swim across there and whoop you and yell back and forth at each other all the time. Billy Bob came home one day and said, "Honey, you ain't going to believe this. God's answered my prayer. The Department of Transportation from Kentucky is building a brand new bridge across that river." She said, "Why's that so important?" He said, "Honey, don't you realize I'll get to walk across that bridge and go over and whoop Clarence? I mean, that's been the goal of my life since I was a little boy. I'm going to get to the other side of that river." Sure enough, they came out and they started working on this bridge. They was building this bridge. Finally, one day, they got finished with the bridge. Ah! He said, "Honey, don't you wait on me. I don't know how long it's going to take. Maybe going all day. But I'm going to go across that bridge today, and I'm whooping Clarence." He was gone, wasn't going no time at all. And he came back. She said, "Well, that didn't take very long." He said, "You know, honey," he said, "looking across that river, you really can't tell how big people are." He said, "I today went over that brand new bridge just now, and I started to go across it, and it was a sign up there that said, Clarence, 8'6". You catch on to that Tuesday. John chapter 6, everyone knows the story of the little boy in the basket with the fish and the bread. Everyone knows that story. And I know what time of good night. No wonder my stomach's growling. Okay, so we're going to go quick. I'm going to talk fast. I want to give you something from God, though, okay? Now, here's the thing I want you to be careful of. Not only today, but until Jesus comes back or you go. When a preacher gets up and starts telling you about something familiar in the Bible, don't turn him off. It seems like every time a preacher gets up and gives you a familiar story, like I'm about to give you today, like the little boy in the basket and the fish and the bread, it seems like our old flesh says, "Well, we know that story. We don't have to listen." Oh, listen, this ain't a fairy tale book.
No.
This is a living book.
Amen. Right.
I believe you have 26 preachers get up here and preach on John 3:16, and if you listen on purpose, I think God would give everybody something out of every sermon.
That's right.
So don't turn me off this morning. I promise you I'll be quick and we'll go eat. But I want to give you something directly from God right out of the book. So just don't turn me off. Please. Matter of fact, listen on purpose. Would you do that for me?
Amen.
And listen, I know you've been sitting there. And I understand the flesh is weak. But give God a chance this morning.
Amen,
brother. Let's give God. In John chapter 6, and for sake of time, I'm going to skip some stuff. But look at verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them." In other words, we only got 200 pennies. If we should go into town and buy 200 pennies worth of bread, it sure ain't going to get... He said, it wouldn't be enough to get a little bit. Now, watch what you said here. This is an amazing story to me if you really break it down. Verse 7 again. And Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith to him, "There is a lad here." By the way, Holmes County, there is a lad here.
Amen.
And somebody ought to encourage him to bring everything he's got and give it to Jesus. But that's not what I want to preach this morning. That's a good message too, though.
Yes.
Watch what he said here. "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. It was an all-you-could-eat buffet.
Right.
Are y'all listening?
Right.
Yeah, all he had was one basket with a few fishes, a little bit of bread.
Uh-huh.
But all of a sudden, it was an all-you-could-eat buffet.
Yes. Amen.
Can I tell you why? Little is much when Jesus is in.
Amen. Yes.
Verse 12.
Right.
When they were what?
Filled.
When they were what?
Well,
wait a minute. Surely that's a contradiction in the Bible. There's 5,000 men, not counting the women and kids.
Yeah.
One basket, a little bit of fish, a little bit of bread. And the Bible said they ate all they could eat and they were
filled.
Yeah.
Yes.
Something's going on here.
Yeah.
Y'all understand what I'm getting to? Something's happening here. Watch this carefully. Verse 13. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above them that were eaten. Now, go back to that verse 12. Let me show you something real fast. When they were filled, he said unto them, gather up the fragments that remain that nothing be lost. What I'm going to give them, let's not have them get lost. And then they gathered up the fragments that remained.
Right.
How much did they gather? We always talk about these 12 baskets that they gathered. Can I give you a shocking truth? There was 13. Because the little boy gave his. And now there's 12 left. Go back to verse 9, and this is just amazing to me. Look, go back to verse 9. There is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And here's what I want to preach. But what are they among so many? Had they forgotten that Jesus was there? Is anybody listening to me this morning?
Yes, sir, brother.
Brother Ike, they had forgotten, hey, Jesus is there. Had they forgotten that all things are possible with God?
Amen.
God, not have mercy. Had they forgotten God's a big God?
Yeah.
Here's the message. We sing a song about our hymn books, Little as Much When God Is In It. I used to love to hear Brother Roloff sing it.
Yeah.
Now, old Brother Roloff, people said he couldn't sing a lick. He's my favorite singer. Because when he sang, it come from somewhere other than his mouth. And I still got old tapes and CDs. Somebody run off for me. Old Roloff singing. But all he had sang, a little as much when God is in it.
Amen.
But here's the message. Are you ready? Little as much when God is in it, and he'll get in it when you give him what you got. Now, don't lose that.
Amen.
Because we're all talking about, and we love to sing little as much when God is in it. But wait a minute. That's a true statement, but little as much when God is in it, and he'll get in it if you'll give him what you got.
Amen.
What are they amongst so many?
Right.
Did it get the job done?
Got it.
Why? Wait a minute. Was the little much? Yeah. But did it get the job done? No. It didn't get the job done until God got in it. And God didn't get in it until they gave it to him.
That's it.
Am I helping you at all?
Yes, sir.
Little is much when God is in it, and God will get in it when you give him what you got. Glory to God. Let me give you a quick. This ain't got nothing to do with a sermon. It just hit me. This will help you. Write this down somewhere. Ready? Number one. Jesus can multiply the potential of your life.
Yes, sir.
But I ain't nobody. Oh, whoa, whoa. Time out.
Yeah.
Time out. Old man from Texas, been preaching, by the way, he's 87 years old, and he's been preaching 60-something years. And he loves me. He loves to come to our ministry. He loves to come out to our work. He loves to come out there.
Amen.
He called me one day, and he said, how's it going? Because we had gone through a 12-year drought. Matter of fact, it was colder here than it was in Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah. When it was, I think in the teens here last week or whatever y'all had, it was 63 where I was. And normally this time of year, we're 10 below with snow. And we're in a drought. And he called me and he said, hey, brother. He called me little brother. He said, hey, little brother. He said, how you taking care of them horses and them cows? I said, but I ain't, man. We're in trouble. He just didn't say nothing else to me about anything. Two days later, him and his son is there with a semi-truck loaded with Texas grass hay for me for free. We unloaded the hay. He spent the night. Him and his son got ready to get back in that semi-truck to go back to Texas. And I said, brother, and I gave him a big hug. And I said, I love you. I wish you'd stay and preach tonight. He said, man, I got to get back. And I like to hear the way to see your old man preach. You ever hear old people preach that they love of God?
Yes,
oh, son.
Yes.
And I said, well, brother, until I get rich and famous, I want to thank you. That's all I got to give you right now. Oh, that old man stopped and ripped my head off and spit down in the hole. He preached for me for 15 minutes. Rich and famous. You are rich. Your father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills.
Yes.
If he owns the hill and the cows, he owns the hills. And if he owns the hills, he owns the gold that's in the hill. Oh, he ripped me up one side and down the other. He said, and you're famous. You got your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's better than being in the Hall of Fame somewhere. You got your, oh, good night, you are famous. You got your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Woo! Glory to God. He got through and I felt about that big. What am I saying? I'm telling you today that God will multiply the potential of your life.
Yes, He will.
I'm going to pick on T in a minute. I got saved August 24th, 1970. Just got out of the Marine Corps. Just came back from Vietnam. Been wounded, put in the body bag for dead. Just no dope head, just no drunk. And God saved me, brother. Don't tell me God can't save old sinners. Don't you dare go around and tell people that God can't save people this day and age. That's a lie to the pit of hell. Buddy, I was a wicked old sinner. I got saved. Team was living down in Florida City, down at Miami. And she might even remember this. Oh, you old people don't remember things, do you? But anyway, I'm picking on her. I'm just picking on her. Everybody smiled. Everything's fine. I made God a promise I was going to witness to everybody I was kin to. I drove from Stark, Florida to Miami, Florida just to see her. Now, you got to remember, this woman had seen me drunk. This woman see me run around cheating and run around with women. T knew my life. And I said, I walked in her house with a Bible.
Yeah.
And I said, T, sit down at the table. I want to show you something. And she's going, he must be on some good Colombian stuff today. He's high enough to go duck hunting with a rake. What is wrong with him? And I got to share the gospel. Was I anything? Nope. Just no sinner saved by grace. Didn't have enough sins to get in out of rain. Dumber than a day old goat. But I'd gotten something from God. And I was giving it back to Him. Is anybody listening this morning? Little is much when God is in it. And He'll get in it if you'll give Him what you got. I'm just a preacher in a little old town called Bonifay. Then give Him what you got.
Amen.
For long you'll have a new building. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Is that making sense to anybody?
Yes, sir.
Hey, little as much when God is in it. And He'll get in it
if
you give Him what you got.
Yeah.
I get pumped up. Number one, Jesus can multiply the potential of your life. Number two, and please listen to me. Number two, while man sees what cannot be done, what are they among so many? When man sees what can't be done, God sees what can be done. I like it. But now here's the catcher, and I hope you listen to carefully. God can only multiply what belongs to Him.
That's it.
God can only multiply what belongs to Him. And that's why it's true, little as much when God is in it. I don't want to get Him in it. I'm a nothing nobody. But boy, I've watched God do miracles. God's allowed this Holmes County hick to build the largest Indian ministry in the history of mankind. Little as much when God is in it. And He'll get in it if you will give Him what you got. He comes to this situation. And by the way, he sees the... Remember when he got there, he had compassion on him. He saw the need. Excuse me. He saw the need of the multitude. They were needy. Their condition was they were needy people. Now, let me say this to you. People still need Jesus.
Yes, sir.
They don't need me, but need Jesus. But God will use me to tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
You mean they're going to listen to you? You're a hick. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Will people really listen to a hick? You say you're bragging, and you're absolutely correct that I'm bragging on Jesus.
Amen.
In the last 26 years, I've never had a week when I didn't have a visitor in church and somebody saved. For 26 years now. How'd you do it? I took what little stupid I had, and I gave that little bit to God, and God used it. Why? Because little as much, when God is in it, and God will get in it if you'll give Him what you got. You say, are you going to say that many, about 100 more times? I want it to get in here and in here.
Amen.
Understand, He saw their need. They needed a Savior. They were hungry. By the way, they were there because Jesus was there.
Yeah.
They were hungry and needy for the right thing. And by the way, they were running out of time. We can't have time running into town to buy bread, brother Ike. It's going to be dark here in a minute.
Yeah, that's right.
Day's almost spent. Do you know why the Bible says that night coming when man can work no more? That either means the rapture's taking place and we're going to be gone, or we're dead, or communism has totally taken over, and we don't have the freedom. By the way, we keep electing people. We keep electing. By the way, not just in Washington, but locally. Go ahead and get mad at me, boys and girls. I love you anyway. But if we keep electing the outfits we've been electing, it's going to be against the law to have church. And night comes when man can work no more. They were running out of time. Can I tell you, in this country, we still need Jesus.
Amen.
But we've lost our hunger for Jesus.
I see.
And we're running out of time. Brother Ike, it may be this afternoon. Maybe before I quit preaching. Jesus steps out on the clouds. And He says to those that are saved, come up hither. And His voice sounds like a trumpet. And we're going to go up the honor and meet Him in the air. But He's bringing those who went on with Him.
Yes. Amen.
He saw the condition of the multitude. By the way, He saw the carnality of man. And I'm going to try to hurry, but I'm going to give you something. Look in Matthew 14. Listen, don't lose your finger here. Leave your finger here in John 6. But look in Matthew 14. This goes right along with this. Let me show you this. Oh, I got to hurry. Got to hurry. Wouldn't it be amazing if we came to church like we watch a movie or a ball game or something, and the time didn't matter? Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Amen.
Do you realize that in eternity it's never going to end? Did you ever think Jesus may take the first 2 or 3 million just to teach us Genesis 1:1? And we won't give a rip. We won't give a rip. Matthew 14. Boy, this is so good, I don't want to leave it out. Matthew 14. Oh, let me find where I want to find it here. Look at verse 15. Matthew chapter 14, verse 15. Let's read here a little bit. And when the evening was, when it was evening, His disciples came to Him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, and that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals, or victuals if you're from Boniface. And Jesus said to them, they need not depart. Give them to eat. Now let me break that down in Holmes County language, or Waterflow, New Mexico language, so you can understand it. Are you ready for this?
Right.
This is what Jesus is saying. Ready? They're saying to Jesus, send them away. Brother, can I tell you something? Brother, you've just gone through some health issues, and your wife got to graduate to heaven.
Yeah.
But you know, if you could reach up and grab her by the heel and pull her back, she'd kick loose from you.
I know.
You ever thought about that? Anybody ever sit and just think about how wonderful heaven's going to be? We in our minds, we picture the streets of gold. We picture the mansions. We picture the crystal clear river. And in our little old fleshly way, it's still wonderful, isn't it? But did you know eyes not seen or ear heard? Foo, baby doll. Hallelujah. But you've gone through a tough time. Did you know it'd been easier just to send everybody away? Let's don't finish this building. Or let somebody else have it. That'd have been easier. It's easier to send them away than it is to feed them. So they come to Jesus and say, just send them away. What was Jesus' response? Then we see the command of the master, and this is what he said. They need not depart.
Amen.
You don't got to send them away, boys. I'm fixing to feed them.
Yes.
You don't have to go to the house and lay down and whine and cry all the time. Now, it's okay to go to the house and whine and cry once in a while. You ever had a child stub his toe or fall and scratch his knee? It's always worse than it is. Well, he wants to be cuddled and helped. He wants to cry. Did you know if you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father know?
Amen.
Did you know once in a while, God says it's okay to whine and cry and huddle up to me. I'll love on you for a while.
Yes. Amen.
They need not depart. When he said, give them to eat, what was he really saying? Shut up and feed them.
Yeah.
But what are they among so many? Shut up and feed them.
Yeah.
But I'm in a little town. Shut up and feed them.
Amen. Yes, brother.
I'm a nobody. Shut up and feed them.
Yeah. Thank you, brother.
I don't have a whole lot. Shut up and feed them. They need not depart.
That's right.
I've got a goal to just keep on feeding them till I go or Jesus comes.
That's it right there.
Then he said in Matthew 14:18, he said, bring them to me. Look, well, I got to show you that. Look at verse 18. I already lost it. Never mind. Let's take your time. In verse 18 there, Jesus says, bring them to me. He said, shut up and feed them. And when you're too dumb to shut up and too stupid to feed them, just bring them to me.
Just bring them to me.
Somebody in this room knows somebody that's not been saved yet. Jesus said, just bring them to me. There's days, even as pastors, even as preachers, there's days we don't know what to do. There's times in our lives we're hurting so bad we just wish we could just go on to heaven. And when we have those times we just don't know what to do, he said, just bring them to me. Just bring your problems to me. Bring your lost loved ones to me. Bring your heartaches to me. By the way, his grace is sufficient. Just bring them to me. Little as much when God is in it. And he'll get in it if you'll give him what you got. And I've left a lot out because I know the hour, but listen to me carefully. I want to take what little I got and give it to the God of heaven.
Amen.
And sit back. But what are they amongst so many? Did it work out for these people? Yes. Is God a respecter of persons? No. If God will do it for them, he'll do it for us.
Amen.
I will take what little I've got. Did you know that song says, little as much when God is in it, if we go in Jesus' name. Did y'all know that?
Yeah, that's it.
Little as much, so I ain't got to do nothing. Wrong answer. No, little as much if we go in Jesus' name. Let me boil it down for you where everybody can understand this. You ready? Little as much when God is in it and he'll get in it if you'll give him what you got.
That's it, brother.
I know the hour's late. But I believe God, the Holy Spirit's still real.
Yes, he is.
And I believe when you get saved, he moves in.
Yes, he does.
And I believe he has a job to lead us and to guide us in all truth. We may not follow, but he always does his job. And we've got every excuse in the world. I ain't got a whole lot. I'm in a small town. I'm in a small church. I'm in a small workplace. I'm old. I'm young. I'm dumb. Can't sing, can't write a book, can't write poetry, can't sing a song. I'm going to start a preacher's union, and if you can sing or play an instrument, you can't be in it. Because I'm jealous. But watch me carefully, and I'm going to let you go. I ain't got a whole lot. I'm not much of a person, just no sinner saved by grace. Oh, but glory to God in the highest. Little is much when God is in it. And he'll get in it if you'll give him what you got. Father, thank you. Thank you for the time we've had. Thank you for the Sunday school lesson and the music. Oh, dear God, what a spirit. Thank you for folks willing to sit here and listen to two preachers.